I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly shape-up at the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, political science professor Dr. Lester Spence, and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. Welcome, guys. Welcome back, Jimmy.
Hey,
thanks so much.
Happy New Year,
fellas. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
What's up, Jake?
What's cracking, Jimmy?
Hey, Happy New Year.
Yo, check this out. You know, it was a dogfight in New Hampshire, but Hillary Clinton clawed a 3-point lead over Obama to take the state. Arsalan, A-Train, are we surprised?
I mean, I think we're shocked. I think that not many people have said it, but I'm going to say it here. I think people lied in the polls. I think that you had people voting one way behind the privacy of a curtain and then coming out and telling pollsters the wrong thing. I mean, this is going to start the conversation on racialism in our upcoming presidential election.
I don't buy the racism idea insofar as this. Usually this comes up when you have someone who's an African-American running against, say, a conservative Republican, and somebody comes out wanting to be more progressive than they really are, and they say, yeah, I'd support that person. But in this case, you could be progressive by supporting Hillary Clinton. You could be a right. Clinton supporter in New Hampshire, and you still got to wear the progressive mantle. It didn't make you any less progressive. So, you know, where's the upside to telling the pollster that you voted for Obama, you would support Obama? I think what happened was this. People stopped taking polls on Sunday, okay? And on Tuesday, people went to go vote. In between that, those two things was the famous diner moment where Hillary Clinton tears up, almost cries in that diner. It's shown all over the place, all over the news, all day Monday and part of Tuesday. And I think a lot of women rallied to her support on that deal. They stood up for the sister and they thought, that's not right. They're all over her. She's breaking down crying.
Not at 13 point swing. Not at 13
mark
point
this,
swing.
Mark this day on your calendar again, people, because the R and the is, we agree.
Oh,
the good
man.
Doctor.
Man.
I have to hear from Lester on this.
Yeah.
I think what's going on is that the margin of error is really way too big for us to make really firm judgments about who's winning and losing. So when these polls are coming in, instead of the 5%, plus or minus 5%, in some cases I saw plus or minus 8-9%, which means you can get like an 18-point swing. So it's possible that race is part of that, and it's possible. I wouldn't tie it to the crying moment. I'd tie it to the Edwards Obama jumping on Hillary moment. But at the same time, the polls, I mean, this is a really, really tight election. I would just say we just toss out the polls and just have people just, you know, just wait till after the fact.
Well, can I say something here, though? I mean,
absolutely.
I don't want to toss out the polls. I do think people take them way too seriously. But because, you know, polls are not like a subpoena. You know, they're not telling you what to do. They're just telling you what people say and whatever. I think Arsalan raises an interesting point. Historically, it has been true that African-American candidates have had air in their numbers going into Election Day, exception being Deval Patrick, who's in a state just to the, you know, just the neighboring state to New Hampshire. In Massachusetts, he had a compelling lead going into his election as governor. His lead held up. In fact, he even expanded on the lead. The other point I would make, though, Arsalan, in contradicting your point, is that the late deciders went for Obama, okay? Mm. So if it was a matter of saying, you know, well, I'm going to tell the pollsters one thing and do another thing, the people who said that they had decided at the last minute generally went for Obama.
And let's not kid ourselves. Obama is a new prototype. White people love Obama. White people love Obama. In Iowa, where white people had to stand up and say in public in front of God and everybody, who do you support? I support Obama. White people stood up and said that.
Well, because
so
they had
I don't think
to.
Obama has a race
problem. Well, check
problem.
This out. Check this out. And I'm wondering how Lester is going to feel about this. And don't tase me, bro. But I wonder, going forward, we're not going to see a small contingent of black people not throwing their support behind Obama because he's black. Because they might have more reservations than most because of our own intra-racial prejudices. Doctor, what do you think about that?
I think that's BS. Yeah. Black people don't really roll that way.
Tase him, Lester.
Yeah, he's my man, but nah. That's crazy.
It was just a question.
Yeah, the only folks I saw really talking about that when it was a big deal were folks like Stanley Crouch and Deborah Dickerson, people who don't really know much about black politics anyway. That's not going to really drive black people going to the polls. What's going to drive them is the extent to which they think that their policies fit black people's needs. And, you know, you got black moderates, you got black liberals, you got black progressives, and that's where the differences are going to be.
There's a third choice there, Jimmy. It's what's happening in South Carolina where African-Americans are coming in and trying to figure out if Obama is viable, if white folks are going to support him, and whether or not it's a wasted vote to go for Obama. I think you have to stand up with Obama, and you have to vote for Obama, and you can't try to game the system and vote Hillary just to be safe.
Are we just gonna vote for him because he's black? Because here's me, I'm that dude, and just to be the devil's advocate, I worry about preacher politics. I don't want to elect the guy in the nice suit saying what he thinks I want to hear, because there's a danger of voter remorse. I mean, he looks good on paper, like both of my marriages, and both of those fail. So I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's no different than Hillary, you know, preaching her message in her well-ironed suit either. I mean, I think that, honestly, gentlemen, I think the election is going to revolve around one word: turnout. I think that, you know, you saw double the number of caucus goers in Iowa, record numbers in New Hampshire. This is going to be a societal litmus test for our nation. South Carolina, half African-American population. It is all about who is going to get the most number of people at the polls.
You know what I'd say?
Okay, go ahead.
Usually people take black votes for granted. So this is actually the one moment where black people, black elites, and just black regular voters can actually say, no, I'm not going to vote for you unless you're going to move on the prison industrial complex. I'm not going to vote for you unless you're willing to move on health disparities. So to that degree, they should hold their vote out for Obama and Hillary. And we can't forget Edwards. And they have to wait to see who gives them the stuff.
Is gender or race a stronger drawing card for Barack and Clinton? Ruben, what do you think?
Look, this is an old story, and it sort of has gotten some new life brought into it by an op-ed piece that Gloria Steinem, the feminist icon, did for the New York Times recently, where she is an avowed, declared, out-in-the-open Clinton supporter. And she has said, as a Clinton supporter, that she doesn't think Obama's ready and should be president, by saying that Hillary's obstacle as a woman is more formidable than Obama's as a black man.
That's
and she
true.
Goes back to history and she says, look, in this country, black men got the right to vote before women did. Now, the reason I say this is an old story is if you talk to black women friends and you ask black women friends, like, say, our boss, for instance, if you ask Michelle, and I want to invite her into this in a second, choose which of those two attributes that you have, your gender or your sex, your race, which of those two things was to you the biggest obstacle in your life? And I'm ill-equipped. Obama's ill-equipped. You know, any man is ill-equipped to answer that question. You need to be a black woman to sort that out. And I think Gloria Steinem, frankly, to be blunt with you, is also ill-equipped. She only has one characteristic to offer this. Black women need to settle the argument.
Well, what about that, boss
well,
lady?
Well, I don't know that I'm the boss. I prefer friend and colleague. But we talked to. I appreciate your asking the question. We actually had Gloria Steinem on the program yesterday. I'm just gonna. If you want to hear a little bit about what she had to say, let's hear it.
The gender barrier affects half of the African American community and half of every community of color as well, and is very severe. So statistically speaking, it's probably true that women of color have it the toughest.
Just in fairness to her, I'll tell you, she went on to say, because I asked her, Ruben, about what you were saying, and she said it wasn't that she's against Obama and doesn't think that he's qualified. She thinks Hillary is more qualified, and she says she's not in favor of competitive suffering, If you're asking me personally, I think it depends on the day.
Well, and also, I think if you sort of look at it holistically, I think, in my personal opinion, I think that racism is more toxic for our society than sexism is. I think sexism is a major issue. I think there's an added toxicity to racism in our country.
Well, see, but I think, that's the kind of stuff that, that's the kind of conversation that makes
me. As a guy,
I
feel the same way.
That makes me nervous. And I'll tell you why. Look at, it's true. African American men on paper got the vote before any women did. But if you look at who's approaching parity in terms of the political representation, it's African Americans far. Yeah, African Americans, if you look in the Congress, African Americans are far closer as a group to having parity in the Congress than women are as a gender.
There are 16 female senators right now in the United States Senate.
And women are half the population.
Well, right. And only one African American in the entire Senate, Barack Obama.
But women are half the population.
Right.
Okay, so if you're looking at members of Congress, women are like 13% of the Congress, whereas African Americans are like 13%, they're closer. I think her point about this competitive tiers thing is a good one. Mm-hmm. But it depends on the day.
What Gloria Steinem's comments ignore is the fact that Hillary doesn't just have gender. She has race.
Yeah.
Obama doesn't just have race. He has a gender. So we're making it seem as if women, black women, are the only ones who have gender issues. Ask any black man who has to deal with the police. That's a gender issue.
That's true.
Right? That's a gender issue. So that's where Gloria Steinem, that's where Steinem has always been ignorant on.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and you're listening to Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Dr. Lester Spence, and Arsalan Iftikhar in the barbershop. Jimmy?
Well, going forward, fellas, this is going to be a race to watch. But speaking of errant comments out of nowhere, your girl, Kelly Tillman, was suspended from her gig at the Golf Channel for saying that young upstarts in the game should get together and lynch Tiger Woods in a back alley.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Lester.
Who's girl?
She didn't say should. I was going to say, your girl. Whose girl were you talking about?
She didn't say. Yeah. Who watches the Golf Channel? No.
I do watch the Golf Channel. I'm sorry. It's hard to believe, but yes, your boy likes to hit a few balls every now and again. Nice. It's true.
She said not that they should. Let's just be clear about this. Not that they should, but that the only way for young golfers to stop Tiger Woods lynch him in a back alley. Doesn't make it right.
The one thing that we'll never know and would be really interesting to know is if she were talking about Sergio Garcia or a white golfer, would she have used the word lynched?
That is
the test. I think it's just one of those things you have to chalk up to boneheaded move.
And what do
you
want to bet
if she's talking about Sergio Garcia, she brings up the number three combination plate.
In fairness
to Kelly, let's examine the history of lynching. The history of lynching actually included all kinds of people, mainly immigrants, Italian, Polish,
Irish. Yeah, I don't think
Irish.
She knew the history of lynching.
No,
she probably didn't.
What are the numbers?
But there were
a lot of people. What are the
and
numbers?
Jimmy, I mean,
more Hispanics were lynched in Texas. Actually, let me just clarify this. One number that's interesting, more Hispanics were lynched in Texas. More Mexicans lynched in Texas than African Americans were in the American South. A lot of it goes down to who writes the history books. So this isn't a take away from that experience at all, but it's something I was never taught in school, something you learn later.
Well, and we also know that, you know, nooses were invented thousands of years ago, but we know the symbolic meaning of what a noose means in American society. It would have been interesting to see if it was a gringo golfer or a Sergio Garcia, you know, as to whether she would have used the term or not.
Yeah, it's a throwaway comment. So the question is she's got 2 weeks to think about whether she's going to use a throwaway comment like that again.
Right.
Do you think that I want to ask Arslan, do you think that 2 weeks suspension, given it's like a cultural crime, right? I mean, you know, it's not.
It's a victimless crime.
I don't know if we all agree, but because that implies, because we're all people who use words for a living.
True.
So if words don't matter, there's no reason for half of us to be here, right?
Right.
So I would argue that the culture does matter.
True.
What you bring into the culture does matter. So going forward, how do you think this was an appropriate way to address
something
like this?
I'll be honest. In this situation, I don't think that she meant any malicious intent. And so I think that, in my personal opinion, I don't think the two-week suspension was really warranted. You know, Kelly and Tiger—
The apology is enough.
Yeah, Kelly and Tiger have been friends for a long time, and they've known each other. And it seems that it was just something that she misspoke.
We shouldn't have to debate the intent of it. I don't have to prove that she's a racist or meant, you know, ill will by her comment to say that it was inexcusably stupid and should be punished because it was in the public domain. And here's why. Here's what really gets me. Big deal. Tiger is friends with this woman and Tiger forgave her and it's no big deal. That's cool. That's not just about Tiger anymore. He's a public figure. If you're a young 8-year-old black kid who idolizes Tiger, and now you're asking your mommy, "What does lynch mean?" Okay, then suddenly it left the realm.
Actually,
it left the realm of what's up with Tiger and Kelly. Okay,
that
little soap opera.
That's a fair point.
It took on a different meaning because he is such a public figure.
Can I just make one other point before we leave this? Not to sort of belabor this, but it does bother me that people make these comments. I always wonder, what about the guy sitting next to you, right? What about slipping a note and saying, "Hey, why don't we walk that back right now?" You know,
and to go back
go ahead,
to
doctor.
Politics,
go ahead, Dr. Smith.
The one thing I think isn't right is there are a number of people like Ron Paul has a long history of like racism. I mean, like deep racism as expressed in the magazine, and nobody's talking about it. Right. So we're willing to talk about it when it's a white sister on a golf channel, right? But we're not willing to talk about it when we're making fundamental decisions about our society. And that's the thing that's really
hold on.
One more thing. I just want to say, Jimmy, one more thing. Before we let you go, and I think if people are interested more on Ron Paul's record, there's some reporting that's been done recently. We'll link to it on our website if people are interested in what Lester's talking about. Before you guys go, Bill Richardson apparently he's made the decision to drop out of the race, and just wondering what folks think about that.
Oh, why don't you check in on that?
I heard about this a couple of days ago when it was rumored that this was happening, and I immediately contacted the Richardson campaign to see if I could get an interview with him. You know, by all accounts, this is a guy who ran a very respectable campaign. He's got a wonderful resume. He didn't win the prize this time around, but he made history in the running of it, and he did a good job with it.
He's a good guy. He meant well. I think what's going to be key is whose horse is he going to back? And I think that, in my opinion, at the end of the day, he's still part of the establishment of the Democratic Party. I think he's going to go with Hillary, in my opinion.
He's going to support Obama. You know what happened in Iowa? He was telling people in Iowa, his campaign was telling people to make Obama their second choice.
Good.
And it caused a rift between him and Clinton. I think the Clinton-Richardson relationship is over with.
Well, and, you know, John Kerry supported Obama, too.
That's gangster.
John Kerry supported Obama, too. Anyway, I'm sorry, Jimmy, you wanted to get Lester in this?
Lester, get the last word for me, please.
I just really hope Edwards stays in, because the longer Edwards stays in, he's really the fulcrum, because it wasn't like Richardson was pulling significant numbers of voters. He makes the race close between Senator Clinton and Senator Obama. As long as he stays in, then black voters and other voters get a real chance to express their preferences and to get these guys to move on policy issues.
You know what? Just like Governor Bill Richardson is saying somewhere, that's a wrap. Ladies and gentlemen, we out of the shop. Thank you so much again. I got to kick it over to the lady of the house.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida, where he's a freelance writer and reporter. Ruben Navarrete joined us from KPBS in San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and contributing editor for Islamica magazine. He joined us from our studios here in Washington. And Dr. Lester Spence is an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University. He joined us from WYPR in Baltimore. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.